Good morning and welcome. I trust you have your Bible with you, either in printed form or digital. And I would encourage you to take it out and turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 19 to 34 in this message that I've entitled, The Importance of Eternal Values. In this series, I've titled, Principles of a Fulfilled Life. From the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6 began with Jesus dealing with right motives, talking about giving and prayer and fasting. The remainder of the chapter addresses right values. Many people today think good is relative. That there really are no moral absolutes. That is bad thinking, leading to every person doing what seems right to him or her. God has established absolutes that are a guidance system for traveling through life. Jesus, in this passage, provides three reasons to pursue eternal values which reveal the importance of eternal values. First, eternal values are lasting values. Look at verses 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you own soon owns you. Things tend to fall apart or get stolen. We spend much energy keeping things up or keeping things safe. The phrase lay up suggests a kind of lifestyle. It's also a play on words by Jesus. The phrase lay up is from the same root as treasures. So, literally, it can be read, treasure not for yourselves treasures. Why? Well, because they don't last long. Thieves or moth or rust are attackers difficult to defend against. In biblical times, houses were often made of mud or of bricks of mud that were dried. They could be easily dug through. In fact, burglars were occasionally called mud diggers. Today's safes are not really a match for serious thieves. So Jesus wants you focused on eternal stuff. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 down to verse 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven by developing Christ-like character in your life, performing righteous deeds, good works, and winning lost souls to Jesus Christ. Those are the three things. Developing Christ-like character gives you treasure in heaven. performing good works, righteous deeds, gives you treasures in heaven. And winning lost souls gives you treasures in heaven. So, eternal values are lasting values. Second, eternal values are purifying values. Verses 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Arlington Baptist Church was a big Baptist church in Baltimore, Maryland. And they had these beautiful stained glass windows in their sanctuary. But it was always kind of a little dim in there, lighting-wise, no matter what kind of lighting they put in there. So they decided one year to make a very important, critical decision to remove those stained glass windows. Now, it wasn't, you know, necessarily a popular decision because of the beauty of those windows, but they removed those windows and they replaced them with regular glass windows. And the brightness in that place, the light that came into that place, the natural lighting, without any lighting inside, just the natural lighting during the day, was just tremendous. It made a radical difference. We can get spiritual cataracts that limit spiritual light, that limit the truth from getting in to our soul. Earthly values result in wrong thinking. And people become emotionally attached to error. A willful rebellion against right ideas. When people become emotionally attached to error, it's difficult for them to receive and accept truth. Someone said blind men don't need light. They need the ability to see. A person with no spiritual eyesight needs the new sight of the cross of Calvary to see eternal values. Because you see, we all come the same way. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, tells us that all have sinned. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us are in that same place. And then he tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. And then he goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. And why is that? Well, that's because God loves us. Even though we, in our sin, rebelled against Him, and we deserve His punishment, death, in an eternal death in hell, He loves us. John 3:16 makes that clear. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, God gave us His Son that we could have eternal life. And why did He do it? Well, it was because of His love for us. And how was that demonstrated? How was that love demonstrated? Well, Jesus, whom the Father sent, took care of our sin problem. Took care of our need for God's eternal punishment. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us that God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus went to the cross in order that we might be forgiven, that we might have eternal life rather than being condemned and punished with eternal death. God has done all that. We need to confess that we have received that. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And then we only need to ask for God to forgive us. Romans 10, verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We need our spiritual eyesight cleared up with a new life in Christ, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we might be able to see things from God's eternal perspective. And so, eternal values are lasting values. Eternal values are purifying values. And then third, eternal values are freeing values. Look at verse 24. Because, you see, eternal values provide freedom to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as He calls you to. No one, verse 24 says, can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. You see, attempting to serve two masters results in a double-mindedness, kind of one eye on earthly treasures, the other on eternal life. It doesn't work. It never has. With parents, with employers, with leaders, anywhere you look where there is an authority, you can't have two masters. There has to be a structure. One of them has to be a greater authority. God wants your whole heart, not just half of it. Remember the rich young ruler? This rich young man came to Jesus, and he was trying to make himself feel good. He wanted to, in front of everybody, make himself out to be a person worthy of eternal life, a person worthy before God. And in Matthew chapter 19, in verse 16, it tells us, "Now behold, one came and said to him," referring to Jesus, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then Jesus said to the disciples, "Assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." This young man came to Jesus trying to pump himself up, trying to get Jesus to say good things. But when Jesus called him to put his actions to his words, it says he went away sad because he had great wealth. And then Jesus didn't turn to him. Jesus didn't go after him and say, no, you don't have to give up everything. No. Jesus turned to his disciples and he gave them a lesson on how hard it is to be obedient to God when we have other things that compete with God in our life. And in this young man's case, it was all of his wealth. And so he tried to have a list to check off. But his heart really wasn't for the Lord. Only part of it was. Much of it wasn't. And then his disciples, when Jesus gave him this lesson on how hard it is to follow God when you have much that's controlling your life, it says, when his disciples heard it in verse 25, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" Because you see, in that time, if you were blessed with much wealth and a good life, you were considered to be worthy and righteous before God. And if you didn't, if you were poor, you were considered cursed by God. So they look at it and they say, this rich guy, Jesus is saying, you know, he represents rich people and how hard it is for them to get into the kingdom of God. Well, if that's the case, then who can get in? Who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and he said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we've left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" We've made the decision. We've given our lives over to you. Well, what are we getting out of that? Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." Jesus then goes on to share the benefit of eternal values. The next verse begins with, "Therefore." And we know that "therefore" relates what's coming to what was just said. People worry about things or events which they have no control of. The unexplained, the unexpected, the unreachable, the unavoidable, the unknown. Worry, someone said, gives a small thing a big shadow. Christians, though, are not to let anything cast a big shadow. Look at verse 25. "Therefore," after all of this, Jesus talking about eternal values and what they are, and giving the explanation, he then says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, about what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" And then he goes on to give four reasons not to worry. Worry's needless. Look at verse 26. "Worry is needless. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" There's no need to worry. God takes care of the birds and the flowers. He's certainly going to take care of you as his child. There's no need to worry. Worry is also futile. Look at verses 27 down to verse 29. "Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Look, all of your worry accomplishes nothing. You can't add a single day to your life. You can't solve a problem that's beyond your control by worry. Worry is absolutely, it's a waste of time because it can't accomplish a thing. So worry is needless because God promises to take care of you. Worry is futile because it accomplishes nothing but give you stress and anxiety. And the third thing Jesus says about worry is that worry is faithless. Worry is a demonstration of a lack of faith. Verse 30. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. To worry is to demonstrate small faith or lack of faith. And then third, worry is worldly. Worry makes the Christian look just like the one who has no faith. Makes the child of God look like the one who has no relationship with God. Verse 31 and 32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Listen, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Look, the world chases after all this stuff because they try to use all of their energy, all of their cleverness, all of their resource in order to do these things. And many of them they cannot do. And so when we do the same thing, we are a bad witness to our Father in heaven. We are a bad witness to Christianity. We are a bad witness to Jesus Christ because we're acting like the world when we worry. Because we're not trusting our Father in heaven. Another benefit of eternal values, another benefit is that eternal values affect priorities. Well, what's the priority? Priority is pursuit of the kingdom of God. Look at verse 33. But seek first. See, in the context of all of these things, having eternal values, trusting God, working for eternal values, by seeking to store up treasures in heaven, rather than storing them up here, where they get worn out, rusted, and stolen. And then Jesus says that to worry about all that stuff is a waste of time. Because God's going to take care of you. God's going to give you everything you need. So verse 33 sort of sums everything together. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, be about the things that store up treasures in heaven. Be about those things. Doing good works. Growing Christ-like character in your life. And reaching people for lost people for God's kingdom. And all these things shall be added to you. You get your priorities right where you are seeking God and His kingdom and His righteousness. He will, in that context, provide everything you need. Food, clothing, everything you need. And then verse 34. You see, if we're focusing on the world produces mental and emotional anxiety, believers can trust God for all the things they need in this life. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day are its own trouble. Listen, at the end of the day, tomorrow never comes. Because as soon as what we call tomorrow arrives, it's now today again. Tomorrow never comes, and so often we make decisions based on what we think will happen tomorrow. And Jesus says that's a lack of faith. God promises wisdom, and He promises power for today's stuff by seeking Him, His kingdom, His righteousness, and trusting Him to provide and meet all of our needs. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that we need to be about eternal things, eternal values, and not worried about the stuff that we need in this world. That if we are seeking the things and the priority of Your kingdom and Your righteousness, that You promise that You will meet every one of our needs. So Father, I just pray that for each one of us, that we would, first in the context of a new life in Christ, that we would live that life seeking Your kingdom, seeking to store up riches in heaven and not here on earth, and not to worry about what we are going to eat, what we're going to wear, how we're going to live. Because You promised to take care of that. And Father, I just pray that each one of us watching, listening, here or online, that You would do business with each one of us for Your kingdom's sake. That we would truly build Your values into our lives, and that they would be eternal values for Your glory and for Your praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.